Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, January 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Today on the Ether, we got the Sumo AMA. Let's take a listen.
Hey, welcome on the AMA. Any thoughts, questions, ideas? Would love to chat a little bit.
As another almost 40-year-old sir, I understand the struggle that it spaces. So just wanted to share that with you.
Spaces is marvelous, but the UI from a speaker standpoint is a learning process. That's okay.
That's right, boss. You'll have co-hosts in the future, I'm sure, and be able to put them to work. If not, just ask and we can help. But I think I'm going to ask the question that everyone's wondering, which is, when the landing, sir? Like, you've been teasing us for a little over a week now, it feels like, maybe a little longer. When landing?
So the Lunatic landing is meant to be a community project where lunatics can gather, work on different projects together. The final form of it remains yet to be seen. But the one thing that I will share is, I wasn't going to share this for a while because it's definitely not a certainty, but one of the first main features that we are planning to build into the Lunatic's landing is a poker room. And so if you think about, not everybody is, I live in the United States. If you think about a social club in the U.S., like a country club, people join a country club to golf, but they also socialize, gamble, drink, do deals. And that's how I really view the Lunatic's landing. So we're in the process of building a poker room as really one of the first core features in Lunatic's landing, where we're going to host poker tournaments, and we're going to use proceeds from our NFT sales, our secondary sales, to fund some pretty big poker tournament prizes. And so, I think we have our initial plans would be to, have first prizes in a couple different poker tournaments be 1,000 Luna, and then just depending on the number of people, we're going to adjust those over time. But really, wanted to start out with something that would be kind of fun, an opportunity to chat, get to know other people, and, do a little gambling. And so building a poker room into the Lunatic's landing is really the first thing of what could morph into a launch pad, an incubator, really just an opportunity to help spread the power of decentralized stable coins of UST and Luna. And so there's a lot of technical difficulty in trying to make this happen. And frankly, it's going to take a lot of resources on my part. But the first core feature of the Lunatic's landing would be the ability to host Texas Hold'em poker tournaments and give people life-changing amounts of Luna if they win. So that's really the first thing I wanted to share. So with that, you know, we're in the, yeah, we're in the process of doing some due diligence on how we're going to best, well, we've started on it, how we're going to best add that functionality in as kind of a fun piece of, a fun piece of gameplay, a fun piece of community building, is hosting some, you know, World Series of Lunatics poker tournaments, and hopefully change some people's lives with some really meaningful, amounts of Luna and or UST. And we might, we're thinking about the best mechanic to sell the Lunatics Landing NFTs. We're thinking that it's going to be a mint price of 2 Luna per card, with the vast majority of those Luna being allocated towards, you know, community events. The main few in the first year or two being these bigger poker tournaments, along with smaller poker tournaments. And so really that's what we're trying to, just create a fun environment that can, you know, have a little bit of scarcity, but a lot of fun. And, you know, I don't like to take projects that are on other blockchains and just copy them. But if you think about the community that's been built on the Bored Apes Yacht Club, that's what we have in mind for Lunatics Landing, is something that people can have pride in. And that's really what we're going. And the initial thing, which is still up in the air on what the final version of this would be, we would also plan on doing an airdrop of an additional NFT, more of a traditional NFT, to people that hold Lunatics Landing membership cards. Thinking 10,000 cards, trying to determine the proper mechanics or some sort of proper mechanics of, you know, a white list that, you know, both rewards, you know, current Lunatics, but also doesn't prevent people from outside the ecosystem. Because I think one of the things we've seen in the Terra ecosystem is, you know, a relatively limited amount of capital that just flows from project to project. And, you know, let's go from having, you know, what is maybe 50 to 100,000 active wallets to, you know, 500,000 or 1 million active wallets, and just really, you know, entice people to join, you know, what is really the premier DeFi experience across any blockchain. And so that's just one, you know, more concrete objective mission that I want to share, is the, you know, version zero or version one of the Lunatics Landing will be this community experience that will initially, you know, revolve around these regular Texas Hold'em poker tournaments as a way to, you know, chat with people, get to know people, potentially, you know, just making connections, facilitating projects, but then, you know, giving away Luna and giving people the opportunity to, you know, to grow their bags and earn a fun prize. Yeah, we're just excited about, you know, I played a lot of poker in my day, but there's a lot of great gambling type projects that are, you know, being talked about in the Terra ecosystem and elsewhere. Just don't want to build another casino that people just have 20 tables up and build bots for. We want to build a community experience so you can, grow those connections, get awareness to other projects. And so, yeah, that's really the first vision for Lunatics Landing, is a community that's based around a couple different unique NFTs. And those NFT proceeds and secondary royalties will go to, you know, invest back in the community. And the first way is via these poker tournaments. And so that's really what we're working on. Yeah, like I said, that's a bit of an undefined scope of the amount of work that's going to go into building a poker room that can verify people's NFT holding, can host a multi-table, you know, likely a couple thousand person tournament. But that's really what we have as our first main project. And so in all reality, Lunatic Landing memberships will probably be sold sometime in the first quarter of 2022, if things go as planned. But we want to de-risk this first poker room concept before we sell those membership cards. So I've had a lot of projects, a lot of ideas over the last year or two about different protocols that could be built. But in my opinion, people tend to launch with tokens maybe too early. And so rather than launching a project with a token where everybody fixates on the price, if the price goes down, it tends to, you know, kind of leave a bad taste in people's mouth. I own quite a bit of Kujira, an oversized amount. But with an NFT, with a membership card, your one person's membership card is the same. You know, if I own one, it is no different than somebody who has 10 Luna stake and owns one. We're kind of on the same playing field when it comes to, you know, potential for winning prizes and winning rewards. And I can't say that'll always be the case if, you know, if we go ahead and launch more projects, games, you know, have kicked around a lot of game concepts. But initially, Lunatic Landing, the community that has visions to be a, you know, a launch pad, an incubator, really a place for getting to know fellow lunatics, a place where we can be prideful in our community, but then also have a lot of fun. So if anybody see a couple other questions here, so I will go ahead and I think I might have removed Hooligan Tweets from the space in its entirety. So my apologies if I did that. And so I will go ahead and bring on Best Comment now. Hello, Mr. Comment.
I really like the idea of community tournaments, poker tournaments for Terra ecosystem and any ecosystem. And yep. The fact you want to connect it with NFTs, like bringing so many options, like entrance for a tournament, which include a fee, and like a owner of the NFT have a less fees or so on. It's so many possibilities with that. I really like the idea. Just want to comment that.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. You know, we want to incorporate some scarcity into the Lunatic's Landing itself, but if this poker tournament approach were to, you know, get a lot of traction, you know, the demand for, you know, for attending the tournament might exceed the, you know, the number of, you know, willing participants from the NFT community. And so, you know, people that hold the membership card could have a free entrance, and then there could be an entrance fee, like you said. So for people who don't hold the card, they could have an entrance fee, and that entrance fee would be, you know, added to the pot, added to the prize pool, eligible for really everybody else who does hold the NFT. So, yeah, with that, I think there's it opens up a lot of excitement. You know, I can't imagine. I don't know if anybody's been to a pawn shop or a secondhand store, but you often come across trophies. You know, I've often come across trophies of a baseball tournament championship trophy. You know, those trophies don't necessarily hold a lot of value to the next person, but you could have some interesting NFTs based on participation in these tournaments and making final tables and things that, you know, might not have any value to anybody else, but, you know, you could just display them in a digital case in your home. And once this tournament concept could be applied to different games, both inside of a casino type setting or outside of the setting. So, yeah, with that, you know, thank you for your comment. I will go ahead and just remove you from the speaker list. If you have any other questions, we'd love to have you join, and really thank you for your comment.
Chase, thank you.
Welcome, Mr. El Jeffy. You are welcome to speak here.
Can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you, yes.
Hey, I just got a quick question. So the game you've been talking about, that yield game, do you have any plans to like integrate that with the Luna Landing?
So the yield game has kind of been put on the back burner for a little bit. So, you know, maybe I'm a little bit overly cautious now of just seeing how Terra alts have gotten just pounded into the pavement and basically seeing the morale. You know, the yield game isn't necessarily something that required a token, and that was one of the promises of it. But we do have – the yield game had some different mechanics that were maybe a little bit outside of the scope of the Lunatic's Landing, but I definitely think that there could be some fun gameplay similar to the yield game that's added on to the Lunatic Landing community. And yeah, so we've put it on the back burner.
Awesome.
Put it on the back burner a little bit, but it's definitely something that that is top of mind as to how to make it fun and mixing games and community together just, you know, makes a ton of sense. I was watching some DeFi Kingdoms content here the other day, and they're doing a pretty good job of, you know, their Discord channel is just blowing up. And so they're doing a really good job of mixing DeFi, gaming, and community. And I've been pretty skeptical of just having a gamified wrapper that sits on top of DeFi. But I think there's lots of opportunity there to, you know, to mix gaming and financial rewards and community. So any other thoughts or questions?
That's good for me now. Thank you.
Perfect. Have a great day. Yeah, so if anybody else has any questions, feel free to hop on and make a request. And so it looks like we have Ben here. Hey Ben, how you doing?
Hey, hi. My question was regarding, for example, normal poker tournaments and things like that, or poker games. It'd be divided to be simultaneous or whatever, but different buy-ins or different limits. How would that be, or how have you thought of incorporating that? Like, I don't know, using Luna, using UST, using anything like that. I do apologize. I was trying to look at Twitter to see when the space was going to start, but I was 13 minutes late, so maybe I missed it.
Yeah. So really, our initial plan is to, you know, launch the Lunatic Landing NFT, and then we will use the proceeds from that to essentially fund a lot of the winning. So most of the proceeds will go back into these community pools. And so initially, you know, there would be no buy. Your buy-in would come with the Lunatic Landing membership card. And then we can also fund that with some royalties that come with secondary transactions of the NFT. You know, we're working on setting up a validator, and a material portion of those commissions would also flow back into this community. And so the thought being that there could be a perpetual source of rewards. So we wouldn't have to have, you know, different levels of buy-ins, at least initially. If there was a lot of demand to do, you know, to play these bigger poker tournaments, you could also, you know, open it up to people that don't hold an NFT. But really the thought being here is that if you, the poker tournaments might be a good way to bootstrap the community. And if you can offer a more enticing poker experience, it increases the value of the membership, which potentially would increase the secondary sales and the royalties. And you could get a really interesting flywheel of value accretion going, while still having a lot of fun along the way. And then like I said a moment ago, not having a, you know, just doesn't have a token, so everybody's kind of on equal footing.
Right. Cake did something similar, not a poker game, but it was more of a bet. The initial pools were fully like a community pool. It wasn't necessarily a buy-in for the first couple of ones. And then after that, it was such high demand that it was necessary, but small amounts, but yeah, it sounds going to be cool.
Yeah, I had a pancake swap. I had a cake position. That was one of the positions I had to liquidate to defend my Luna loan in May, and buy more Luna to convert to B Luna to reduce my liquidation price. So I got absolutely slaughtered on that cake holding. But I think I bought Luna with that at like $7. So at the end of the day, it turned out pretty well. So yeah, at the end of the day, lots of ideas for different games and things we could do. You know, there's a lot of active Telegram rooms, Discord channels in the Lunatic community. But we think by, you know, layering on an NFT combined with some awesome opportunities for financial rewards and I love to play poker. So it's kind of a mix of, you know, launching something that the whole group, the whole community, you know, a group of holders can get behind, and hopefully get a flywheel of, you know, fun, financial opportunity, value accretion is really what we're aiming for here. So, yeah, thank you for the question. And that was, you know, I mentioned to begin the call, I still have a traditional job. Luckily it has flexibility so I can step away when I want, but it was a little bit hit or miss on whether or not I was going to be able to do this afternoon. So I just found a hole in my schedule and made it happen. So
no, it's great. Don't worry about it. Thanks. I'll remove myself from the speaking.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. A lot of people have asked questions about, you know, is the Lunatic Landing going to be a, you know, a 3D metaverse environment? And as someone who recently bought an Oculus Quest 2 and is, you know, somewhat blown away by the capabilities of that device, I think there's potential for that. But really, as of right now, you know, just wanted to kind of play off the concept of, you know, embracing the moon. I love sitting around a table in a pub having a beer and shooting the shit with my friends. And so that was really the genesis of the Lunatic Landing, is kind of, you know, teasing out this place that we can gather. The quality of those 3D graphics opened up my brain to thinking about, you know, building a lunatic colony in the metaverse, which I think has a lot of potential to be awesome. But at this point, that's really not what we're looking for. So with that, I see another request here from Marty, so I'll invite Marty on. Hello, Marty.
Hey, Sumo. So, have you ever thought about like a really lunatic-centric kind of trading game where you take the historic May event?
Yep.
And basically, you know, tick it off as it happened. But start everybody who wants to play the game with 5,000 UST and 500 Luna and see who has the most at the end of the tick.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I have never thought of that. So are you thinking a random simulation that is based on those volatility parameters, or what do you have? So stepping back a moment, I've heard of a number of startup ideas that involve around stock market simulation, stock market game. And what I've found is that if a person underperforms, they quickly quit that. And so you end up with, as time goes on, the amount of daily active usage dwindles away to next to nothing because people lose their chance to win. And I've always thought that's just a suboptimal experience for a game. And so if I'm off base there on what you have in mind, feel free to fill in the gaps.
Well, think of it as more like time chess. It's like 1 hour. We're going to simulate the whole May day in 1 hour.
Sure.
Right? So it's like time chess. So whatever, 250 people, 350 people all start up with the same amount of money, and we basically try to see who comes out at the end of the day, as it were, with the most, and they get the prize. I mean, in some sense, you know, that day or that moment in time is a meme for Luna, right?
Yeah, yep.
Everybody talks about it. And maybe there's some people who don't want to relive it, including you.
Actually, that day made me lots. That weekend made me lots of money. It was crazy. I made the decision to. I'm really glad I made the decision to defend my loan by adding more B Luna instead of just paying it down. I don't know why I did that, but that was I bought 100,000 Luna that weekend, so that was pretty wild.
It's a game. Yeah. you could play once a month, but you could play it on a weekend in May under special circumstances with a big crowd.
My holdup would be on how to add randomness to it. Adding randomness to it so it's not just a repeat of May, because I know what I would have done. In hindsight, I would have bought a lot more at certain price levels than I did. But no, I like that. It's a little bit of a psychological and a emotional exercise, and it would be, I don't know how you necessarily recreate that moment without, you know, allowing people to lose. Man, that was I remember waking up and seeing that Luna was $8 or $9 in the middle of the night, and looking and saw that I lost 15,000 Luna to being liquidated. And it was, yeah. I'm pretty sure I didn't go back to sleep after that. And that was super early at night. So no, I appreciate that. It'd be fun to iterate on something like that in the future.
It's I'm older than you, but a long time ago, there was a game called Gettysburg. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
So the initial conditions of Gettysburg, and someone who has crawled all over the battlefield, you know, I always played the South,
mm-hmm.
and I always seized the mountain in the first hours, and I always won.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate that. I'm definitely gonna take a look at Gettysburg. Awesome. Have a wonderful day and a good weekend. Hello, M1 NTY. How are you?
Hey, how? Yeah, I'm good. Firstly, thank you for doing this. Just had a really quick question. So there's been a lot of flavor of the day seems to be this strategy that Lunomics has been educating around, which I think has been pretty interesting to hear. Essentially, taking that LTV up to, or borrowing off your BLUNA, taking LTV up to 45%, 25% of that being deployed towards just buying more LUNA, and then the rest just kind of farming the 20% off anchor. Just curious, it's a two-pronged question. One is, what was your LUNA accumulation strategy, if you had one, or you just super early? And then secondly, there's all these calls around, you know, $1,000 LUNA is not a meme. You know, I'm a huge fan of LUNA, obviously, in the tokenomics. But the mental model surrounding that, I'm really curious around, one, is it predicated on UST demand growth 10xing? I know that's not really accounting for the Terra ecosystem growth and all that other stuff. But yeah, I'd love to hear your strategy for accumulating LUNA, or just kind of just your investing strategy generally. And then this whole $1,000 LUNA is not a meme. Would love to hear what would happen.
Yeah, so my LUNA accumulation strategy, and I started out by talking about it a little bit, where I, you know, sold a business. I was had some cash, and I was seeking out something that was better than 0.1% interest rate at a bank. And so I think I initially started putting some money in BlockFi and Celsius, using their USDC deposits. And then I heard about Anchor, got a Terra wallet, plugged in a decent amount of money into Anchor Earn, and the process was so seamless. And I did a lot of analysis on the behind the scene mechanics of how that interest rate is even available, and it made sense. And I basically took a first principles view and thought that I don't see any way that Anchor doesn't attract $10 billion of deposits. I have some questions about the longer term future of Anchor, but we can talk about that here in a second. And so I quickly took this money I had in Anchor Earn and started buying LUNA. And I wasn't too early. It was $15, $16, $17. And then the May crash happened, and I just got lucky and defended defended my Anchor loan by buying more. And I probably would have never done it this way, but there was a handful of occasions where I would buy 1,000 LUNA you know, convert them into 1100 or 1150 Luna because the swaps were so juicy during, you know, the liquidators were forced to bail out of their V Luna holdings. So that pool on TerraSwap was incredibly juicy. And so I just kept buying Luna, converting it to B Luna, providing that B Luna collateral on Anchor, and doing that over and over and over until I, you know, completely ran out of money. So I could have maybe wired in some more. I could definitely get wired in some more money, but those opportunities occurred over the weekend, so I couldn't do that. That big May crash. And so basically, I took a first principles view that Anchor is going to attract $10+ billion of deposits. I was 99% sure of that, and that's why I acquired the Luna, and then just frankly got lucky. The combination of the May crash and those pools getting so out of whack. So whether it was TFL or another liquidator, thank you so much for dumping your B-Luna in the TerraSwap pool, because that arbitrage was the primary reason that I chose to defend my loan. I said 10 minutes ago that I wasn't sure exactly why I did that. Now I remember. It's because that arbitrage was there. It's not necessarily an arbitrage, but the spread was there. And so then you fast forward to today. You know, some of the brilliance is the fact that TFL took their community pool, converted it to UST, and did it in really huge chunks. So they paid abnormally high swap fees. So those swap fees are getting paid to stakers. That is really, removed a lot of the near-term downside risk in Luna, you know, of a complete crash and meltdown scenario, given that there's a large amount of staking returns paid out in UST over the next 2 years. Bigger picture, I think, is we're adding trading pairs, you know, KuCoin, Binance, UST. You can buy Wrapped UST and Wrapped Luna on Coinbase, Coinbase Pro. We're getting to the point where UST has won the decentralized stablecoin. I mean, I won't say we've won it, but it's now just not dependent on Anchor. I frankly think it's overly dependent on Anchor. And the primary concern I have is when Anchor borrow incentives go away, I don't see anybody wanting to borrow. The borrow demand is going to even be declined further, because who wants to pay 15 to 20% against the B-Luna? If you look at Abracadabra, people can take their Ethereum, they can pay a 5% fee, 0.5% borrow fee, and pay 0% interest to borrow up to 90% LTV on their Ethereum on Abracadabra. And I think it's somewhat inevitable that we see that same thing other platforms, except B-Luna as collateral, which is going to be a headwind tanker. But at the same time, there was a relatively popular thread that somebody thought that, you know, Luna was going to collapse because the Anchor return is going to go down. Anchor's return goes down to 17, 16, 15, 14%. I don't think we're going to see a flea of deposits. So using proof of stake collateral to pay the high returns that Anchor does, I think is a model that's, you know, that's fairly defensible here in the short term. So all in all, and then if you think about the fact that I think it's inevitable that we see $20 to $50 billion plus of UST market cap in the next couple of years. I don't see $100 billion myself, but that does point to four-figure Luna. So, and I've been fairly skeptical in nature, and I've taken a view with Luna of, rather than what if this doesn't work, what if this does work? I definitely am in the camp that this is a, you know, kind of a once in a lifetime, just a unique asset that's unlike anything else out there. And the brilliance behind it is not creating the stablecoin mechanism, but it's actually deriving and generating organic use for it. So, and hopefully Anchor is just one of a dozen different really compelling projects. And that's one of the overriding missions of what I want to do and what we want to do with Lunatic Landing is to, you know, is to help people partner and work together and create, you know, these projects that continue to drive sustainable use cases for UST, and getting us to all thinking, you know, terms of, frankly, not having to leave the UST ecosystem. I've been nibbling and buying a little bit of Atom on KuCoin, and I'm doing it in the UST pair. I bought some other coins on KuCoin over the last couple of days that have UST pairs. And so I think the ball is starting to roll down. The snowball is starting to roll down the hill and gather momentum on UST versus all these other algorithmic stable coins that are just starting at the bottom and having to push that snowball up the hill, which I think is going to just end up, rolling back and crushing a lot of these other stable coins. So it's a long-winded answer to, I'm still as bullish as ever on Luna. And if we get to a point where Anchor is just one of a dozen different really organic demand drivers for UST, I think this thing could really get powerful. So to me, the borrowed demand side of Anchor is the biggest risk in Luna not getting to, three and four figures. So.
Hey, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I agree with the downside risk on Anchor being relatively minimal. Just something that you were saying just before, and by the way, I appreciate your answer and everything that you've just explained just before. But at, let's say, 50 billion UST, that's kind of a 5x from here. Tether's at 75 bill at the moment. And I think I saw like a Delphi report, which had this kind of graph, which was to show, UST adoption and the price of Luna just based on kind of the amount that need to be burnt around like liquid supply.
Yep.
And so, let's say we 5x UST to 50 billion. Like, and you mentioned just before, that is four-figure Luna. Like, how did you arrive at that? I think that like we have the only decentralized algo stablecoin, which is kind of the core value prop. So I'm bullish as fuck on Luna, but I want to try and arrive at like a much more kind of rational way of kind of getting there, and also, being able to kind of have realistic price predictions and things like that. But yeah, I'd love to hear your thinking around, how did you extrapolate 50 bill UST to four-figure Luna? And just the thinking behind the bull case around that, I'd love to hear.
So in my mind, if you take $40 billion of incremental UST market cap, if I divide that by, say, $150 Luna, I think that's something like $266 million Luna that we would burn to get there. And it just, we're going to see, we're probably going to see 100 plus million Luna get added to circulating supply. There's team tokens that are being vested. There's investor tokens that are probably being vested. And so I always have thought it's somewhat counterproductive or just somewhat nonsensical to just use the current circulate. Long story short, I'm not a big believer that a person should just look at market cap. You need to look at fully diluted value. And so at the end of the day, I just think we're going to see, we could get to a scenario where we have, a $200 billion market cap of Luna. And if you divide a $200 billion market cap, let's say, 200 million tokens, that's a $1,000 price. So that's really the rationale that I would get to is seeing the market cap potential divided by the, tokens outstanding. And you can get to some pretty wild numbers. Obviously, there's the burn goes down as the price goes up. And frankly, I think you can kind of, run yourself in circles or chase your tail on trying to specifically quantify that. And I just try to take first principles view of if we get to 50, $100 billion of UST market cap, this thing is going to explode. And that's the bet I'm making. I sold 1% of my Luna here the other week. I'm going to take some profits along the way just to hedge my risk a little bit. I'm not a never sell Luna type of person, but I can certainly tell you that I will be holding lots and lots of Luna as we make this path higher. which I think is a 90%+ certainty. So that's where my mind is at on
it. Cool, thanks.
Thank you for the question. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I have a lot more questions, but I'll let other people speak. But yeah, I appreciate that, Matt.
Sounds good. Thank you. So we have CFI joining the AMA here. Good afternoon, sir. Or good morning, or good evening.
Guys, how are you? I was thinking, you know, what's your thoughts on Murray Rudd's analysis?
You know, I skimmed that, and I tend to think that, you know, it's a little bit of, it's a little more in-depth than the analysis that I would, personally, than what I would do. There's so many unknowns on, you know, if you do that analysis last week and you project that we're going to be burning this amount of Luna at 100 and this amount at 105 and this amount at 110, well, that analysis is now stale and dead because we're at 70. So I like to think about it in a much more simple framework. Every time we see these 20% down moves in Luna, I just go back to thinking, what is going to stop us from getting to $10 or $20 billion of anchor deposits? And I couldn't come up with anything that was of a high probability. And so I think of the same thing on Luna. Like, what's, you know, what's going to prevent us from getting to $50+ billion of market cap? Right now, really, the only thing I can come up with is that the demand for anchor borrowing just falls apart. But in all reality, I think that's a relatively small likelihood. So that analysis is great, and it's a more quantitative, precise method of getting to the point, you know, of getting to my relatively simplistic, if we get to that market cap, the price blows up. Rather than trying to overly define that, I'll let smart people like him try to more narrowly or more precisely define that range.
Yeah, I mean, I think what his thing doesn't cover is just Luna demand.
And I like some of the stuff we've talked about on the, the auto compounding from Luna X. It just creates this, you know, kind of subtle, small, ever-present buy and demand that can do pretty wild things over a long amount of time. I heard somebody talking about the change in the Ethereum. I don't even know what it was. What the specific change was, but when they started burning a little bit of Ethereum, somebody made a comment that was just even a little bit of deflationary burn can do crazy things to prices because there's only so many tokens that are actually truly for sale in an environment where there's a lot of tokens staked. And so I think what you're talking about there is, and you know, feel free to add other color on other sources of demand outside of,
because I was kind of worried about just some element of the centralized token holder supply, but at the same time, like, what coin would you exit to? And to me, it's like all the other coins in the world that are not as good as Luna are the potential liquidity pool for Luna.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like all the inflationary coins and such will, you know, oftentimes will have some of their sort of like power deflated and sent into Luna for its deflationary potential.
Yeah. I completely agree. And, you know, it's hard to paint a bearish scenario there. But personally, I kind of like the fact that we just are sitting at sub 3-figure Luna and burning more and kind of coiling that spring for what hopefully is a fun ride over the next couple of years. Because if you talk about the demand that's coming from some of these staking derivatives, the liquid, you know, the Luna X, and then just there's a relatively high profile podcaster named Sean Peary who was talking for years about Bitcoin and how he basically went all in on Bitcoin. He just started a new Web3 email newsletter that I signed up for, and he's going to try to turn $1 million into $10 million. And his first decision was buying $300,000 of Luna. So this was a Bitcoin maxi. What's his first non-Bitcoin move that he's publicized? And that's buying Luna. So And it's just such a, and I like some of the stuff, the content you've put out is, it's just unique. It's just different. And we don't know, like who knows how crazy this thing could go.
What's also interesting is just that, you know, you don't actually need anything fancy except like speculative price action to reach like $1,000 Luna. I think any coin can do that, actually. Like, you see that kind of behavior among numerous L1s in terms of velocity. So I think it's just like, to me, it's like Luna is that, but on crack, you know, it's like the supercharged version of it.
Yeah. Yep.
So I that's where I think I get my extraordinarily extreme bullishness from, I guess.
Yeah. It's hard for me to argue with that. And I will have to say that I've had to leave some of your Twitter spaces because of your confident price predictions. And I start to do some mental math in my head and I try not to get so bullish. So you've, thank you for your opinions, because they probably prevented me from selling a little Luna, which we'll see what happens.
Now keep in mind, like, my general theory is that we're looking at like the crypto 100 trillion total, you know, so it's like a different like philosophy that I go by, not necessarily based on current market caps and such.
Sure.
So it's a little bit different. It's like my thinking is more long range, so I don't want people to like hear my bullish shit and then get wrecked because they're not willing to wait 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. So and you know, when you talk about getting wrecked, that was also one other point I was going to bring up. I meant to do some analysis on just taking the historical Luna volatility and apply it going forward, and I haven't done it yet, but I would be surprised if you took Luna's historical volatility and applied it to a Monte Carlo simulation. I would guess that there would be a 99% chance that we, you know, touch something like $40 Luna. So, you know, I love having my Kajira bids in there and picking up this B Luna, but everybody needs to, like, with this level of volatility, crazy shit is going to happen. And that May crash we had wasn't all that, like, if you apply the statistical analysis to that, it wasn't all that extraordinary. It was relatively normal price behavior for an asset that has, you know, 100%+ historical volatility. So people need to remember that when they're, you know, borrowing and levering, and don't let this precious Luna go if you can do anything about it.
I tend to have a plan for like 90% drawdowns in any given moment is my general philosophy personally.
Yeah. I find it extraordinarily hard to sit on dry powder, but I almost have to force myself to do that, because I know how costly it was for that big May liquidation. That really was not, I had ample cash. I had ample fiat. That should have never happened. So, and that was likely going to be an 8-figure mistake on my part. But I appreciate your thoughts and your great analysis here. The, you know, thinking about humans in particular tend to have recency bias and take what's happened the last few weeks and extrapolate that over the next few years. But stepping away and thinking big picture, it can really open up a person's probabilities. It's not, you know, when's Luna going to get back to $80? It's, you know, is it going to touch 20? Is it going to touch 250? Yeah, those would not be surprised at all if both of those happen in the next 12 months. So that $100 million, $100 trillion market cap is also something that just opens a person's eyes on, you know, what if that happens? What if this all goes right? It's pretty crazy the prices that we could see if that happens. So, any other thoughts or questions on the topic? I love all your Twitter spaces. So fun to have you join.
No, I think the simple way for people to think of this is, like, number one, does TFL execute? And they do. You know, they ship what they say they're going to ship. And, you know, when you couple that with just sort of like, not just the price action so far, but just like, do you analyze across the board, you know, where are these sort of superior tokenomics in this industry, and you can't really find them, then, you know, my take is, like, as soon as you find me better, I'm willing to buy it, you know, like, I don't have a problem with that. But I do like, you know, 1,000,000% growth sort of targets. So Apple, Bitcoin, like there's a lot of things out there that one can invest in. But the a thing to keep in mind as far as generational wealth, like in the AI and ML spaces, which are like the other big ones right now, a lot of that is coveted in such that like the geniuses in those spaces are not releasing that for like Web 3.0 style consumption. So in order to be sort of early in that, you have to be sort of like, you have to be a venture capitalist at that point to do that. So I think what Luna gives us is that even with a relatively high centralization, I think it gives us a pretty good opportunity still for that kind of wealth, which you don't find everywhere. So just my 2 cents on that. But awesome. Yeah, good having you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate it.
Glad to be on, and I'll let someone else
appreciate
talk.
Appreciate the insights. Thank you. Have a few other people here. So we'll have Jason come back on. Well, Jason, come on. And I'll just bring on Marty and Hutch, and rather than just limit to one person, we'll just bring on some more people. So fire away, let's chat. I only have maybe 20 minutes or so. Unfortunately, I don't have the time for some of the fun marathon Twitter spaces that you all can do. But with that, love chatting and learning from more of you guys.
Yeah, well, thanks for having this. I'm in a loud place. I'm actually in line for lunch, and I have a mask off, so I might get yelled at here. But I just wanted to throw out a quick question because I liked what you were talking about with the volatility. And obviously, the last few days has had me thinking about that, you know, we might touch a 40 or, you know, even a 35. And doing the managing and all that stuff is fun, but I haven't been sleeping great. So I saw you post about the UST, AUST post, and I just wanted to hear what you or anybody else is doing as far as the stable reserve. Don't know if I love the Luna UST pool, and I've had other liquidity pools, but when quality tokens are getting wrecked, be it Kujira or Anchor or anything else, I think just having a stable pool of money that's working for you as some sort of backup, some sort of room is probably the way. So I was hoping maybe you could elaborate on things that you were doing or looking at. Thanks.
Sounds good. So yeah, I've been buying tokens the last day, and one of my personal weaknesses is I find it next to impossible to sit on dry powder for the long term. So I'm probably going to pull some AUST into a completely separate wallet. And just throw that away in the safe. Something I can get to if I need to. If we start to do have a meltdown, but to me, there's nothing better than just putting money in Anchor Earn and giving yourself. I think people underestimate the power of compounding in that Anchor Earn. If you think about the rule of 72. If you have a 20% annualized return, that doubles your money every 3.6 years. And so, you know, it's not quite 10 years, but if you double your, if you go from 2 to 4 to 8, you know, 10 years at that type of interest rate is an 8x return. So pretty hard for a lot of these tokens to do some of, you know, a traditional inflationary token to do an 8x return from a multi-billion dollar FDV today. So Anchor Earn to me is just the no-brainer for just parking some cash. So like sub $1 Kujira, sub $2 Near, just some of these tokens have just gotten beaten up. One of my personal faults is I can't sit on my hands. So I'm going to force myself to put some dry powder on the shelf.
Yeah, no, I it's funny, you come into this and 20% sounds great. I was talking to somebody else I onboarded onto Voyager, and they're like, wow, I can get 9% on USDC and they're not ready to kind of go degen or even go off an exchange. So, but yeah, you get spoiled when you get here. Like that's not enough. So I was just wondering if anybody was next leveling that. I know I'm in a loud place, so I'll jump off, but I just wanted to throw out there.
No.
That,
yeah, I think what, you know, that the USD, AUSD pool on Loop. I mean, why not? I guess I have some skepticism on on you know, the longevity of some of these projects. But you know, to me, I guess I try to be simple on concentrate my portfolio on Luna, use AUST. You can participate in some of these liquidity pools, but you know, when the market gets crushed, the values of those liquidity pools also get crushed. So you know, I think many of us were probably lured into the VKR pool. Yeah, 300% APR sounds great until the price of the underlying token goes from 250 to 50 cents. So, and then all of a sudden all that, yeah, USD you pair that with is, well, where did it go? So, I do like the strategy of using the Luna UST liquidity pool, because you're actually, you know, when the market gets crushed, you're acquiring more of the asset you believe in. So if you take a haircut on the UST you have in that pool, so be it. It's essentially market buying your Luna on the way down. So that's probably one of the strategies I
use. Okay. I did look at that Loop USTA USD pool. A couple people were talking about you and somebody else on when I did the marathon spaces the other night. But I noticed this morning the 24-hour yield was, I want to say it was single digit. And I just thought, oh gosh, why not just do UST? So if there's going to be volatility in that yield even,
yeah,
I'm not even sure if that's worth it.
I agree. So Marty and Jason, you guys also hopped on.
Hey, Sumo, good to hear your voice. Thanks for putting this on. Two quick questions. One is, you mentioned Kajira, and I feel like of all the people in the community, you're probably the Kajira king based on your screenshot. So congrats, and thanks for, I guess, building my confidence in that platform as a way, you know, not just to get like massive discounts, but to look at it like a way to kind of like CeFi's Luna to be Luna arbitrage. You know, once those spreads got below 2% or so, I think you kind of showed that Kajira can, you don't have to go 10, 15% discount, but even if you get a 3 or a 4, that's better than doing that, that arb over and over.
I view Kajira as it's a limit order, and the limit you set is when shit hits the fan. So, I just think about it as a dollar cost average, a limit order mechanism. And in all honesty, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or beginning of December, or whatever it was, I put a $700,000 UST bid in Kajira, almost just for the fun of it, to say, yeah, you know, going to eat a lot of Luna. Well, then shit, woke up the next day and it was all filled. And I thought, holy fuck, I wasn't really wanting to buy that much Luna, but at the end of the day, it worked out. So.
Yeah, definitely. So the question was, what do you think about Kajira's value capture mechanism? Because that's probably one of the three projects I like the most outside of Luna. And, you know, obviously the token's gotten hurt. And, you know, part of me thinks of it like, you know, when markets get rough and you have a lot of liquidations, you might expect the Kuji price to go up, actually. So I'm curious about that. And then also just curious what you're building with that Luna Land project as well.
So I was actually hoping, as a pretty sizable Kajira holder, that they were going to just hold the bids in AUST on the back end and use the interest as protocol revenue, and do a split with the depositors. And I think the team, maybe, I don't know them personally, but I'm guessing they somewhat regret the fact that they put out that Twitter poll on, you know, what percent should go towards stakers. In my mind, it's such an awesome product that has such a great product market fit that they could have just picked a level, and, you know, instead of calling it's an AUST collateral, it's a you know, we're going to pay you 10% interest on your deposits. I know I would probably hold more bids there if that was the case. So I do think that there's going to be definitely some potential to generate protocol revenue via that collateral mechanism or holding deposits in an interest-bearing account. Probably not as exciting. Now, that was kind of my core thesis, was that they could, you know, potentially be holding hundreds of million dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars of bids cross-chain and generate 10, you know, 50 plus million dollars of interest because of that interest split. And it sounds like that might be a little harder to achieve than what I thought. So at the end of the day, my real bet there is, like, that's out of all the, you know, I would say Anchor, Mirror, and Kajira, like, they have great, they have good product market fit. And so I'm just and the team is looking to move cross chain, you know, look at Abracadabra and other money markets. And so my bet is that they're going to drive demand for the product and for the token. I may be a little less bullish than I was a few months ago, or maybe 6 weeks ago, but so be it. The product is great. I actually hated the idea when I first heard about it. I hated it. I thought, this is the land of bots. Why would you ever build a UI here? I didn't quite understand how the liquidation contract worked, but it's, I love software tools. I've used hundreds of software tools. That tool is probably my favorite tool I've ever used because it has such perfect product market fit. And on top of it, it benefits the ecosystem by preventing cascading liquidation. So if I don't make any money on my, if I don't make a bunch of money on my Kajira tokens, so be it. But I do think, out of anything, it's one of the lower valued projects in the Terra ecosystem, like lower than VKR. Like, and it's 100 times as useful of a product, in my opinion. Nothing against VKR. I was going to say nothing against VKR, but yeah, I don't really like that type of marketing. So yeah, I do have a bone. I do not like that product, but nothing against the team working on it. So you can tell they've done a lot of good work, but to me, Kajira is an A+ product.
Well, I think to your point, being able to go cross chain is sort of like growth lever 2.0 for all these chains. So you can look at any of them and say, or any of these tokens, and say, does this product apply across DeFi, or is it a TeFi specific product? And that's sort of the lens I view these in terms of upside potential.
I would agree completely. And you had another question about the lunatic landing, and so I, you know, what?
Yeah, no, you've been posting about it. It looks pretty cool. So I'm curious what your goals are there.
Yeah. So one, I think the lunatic name is just such a perfect name that, you know, there's a lunatic, you know, what is the Telegram room? It's just such a perfect name for this community, like, you know, literally better than anything, any other chain, in my opinion. And so you can, you know, I think that really want to leverage the community aspect. Then also I really like certain, like the Bored Ape Yacht Club on Ethereum is super compelling. To, it has a just probably the tightest community among any NFT project. And at the same time, you know, if you launch a token, everybody becomes so fixated on the price. I've just been even thinking a lot about how do you drive community, give some people some ownership in the community, but not have everybody be so fixated on a token where you need to constantly be trying to justify your value and add value accrual to the token. That Lunatic Landing is really this concept of building a community around people that are avid Luna holders, bringing new people into the community, you know, bringing more dollars into the ecosystem, and then really having fun. So I think about it as in the US, you know, golf club, a country club. What do you do there? You go there, you socialize with your friends, you do deals, you gamble, and you maybe play some games. And that's kind of the longer term vision for Lunatic Landing. And I talked about it a little bit at the start. The first thing that we're trying to de-risk here is we want to build a poker room as kind of the version zero or the version one of Lunatic Landing, and host poker tournaments for people that hold the Lunatic Landing membership card, or the World Series of Lunatics, the Fat Man Festival of Poker, the Fuck Tanya Sit and Go poker tournament, Just some things that we can do to give away a lot of Luna and just drive excitement. And when you're sitting around a poker room, that's, you know, you get to know people and you get to chat. And so have some different NFTs that we could be airdropping to those membership card holders. But really going to start with trying to build up some community and build up some across chain really awareness of what's going on in Luna by hosting these poker tournaments and giving away, you know, thousands of Luna or hundreds of thousand UST. That's really the first vision of Lunatic Landing, but I could see it, you know, being a launch pad, being an incubator, you know, rather than private seed rounds going to all these VCs, you know, why can't we bootstrap some of that stuff, you know, via the community? So really the first vision is, okay, let's make it fun. Let's give people some pride of ownership, and the poker dynamic potentially could create an interesting value accrual flywheel for an NFT, where if you have royalties from secondary sales being funneled into tournament prizes, you know, the price of that NFT goes up, it creates more secondary royalties, which creates bigger prizes, which creates more interest in the tournaments, and it can be a really interesting flywheel of value accrual. So that's the initial version with it. You know, building out a first-class technology, building out a first-class poker tech stack isn't for the faint of heart. So we're working to de-risk that here in the short term.
Very cool. Thanks,
man. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
So can I comment on some of the CeFi stuff?
Sure.
Move on to Cosmos and Luna X. So I'm with CeFi. I have viewed, you know, most of the coinage out there is basically liquidity pools going into Luna eventually. I kind of had the saying, you know, where do you go?
Yep.
It's kind of what he said. I think though there is one place to go, which is kind of the osmosis, you know, slightly atom kind of space. And Sonny's kind of proposal today on Ion is kind of like makes it even a more interesting place to go. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the Ion paper from Sonny.
I have not. Can you give the elevator pitch on it?
So they're basically going to take the UST Luna, you know, algorithms and apply them to everything. So they don't want to do a stable coin. They want to do it for lots of coins. And I'm doing, you know, a bad thing here, but I mean, it's in not doing it justice at all. You have to really read the paper. But I think the Atom / Osmo, it's actually Osmo / Atom. I think of more as like a 90-10 or 80-20 kind of place. That is a place to go. Not just now. I've been going there, you know, within like a month of their opening. I missed, you know, their Genesis airdrop, but I came in afterwards, and it's been just like a great system. And Osmosis runs faster in terms of their development and deployment than any of the projects I think that we've seen. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, ANC. Doesn't matter if it's Astro, doesn't matter whatever else, you know, these guys are, you know, in a very fast track for kind of innovation.
But you know, I posted something on Twitter a few days ago that if anybody out there that's used Ethereum lately is bearish on Cosmos, you know, we're not friends, because I mean, it just seems so, and you see some of the issues that Solana has had. You know, the multiple chains and the IBC just seems like, you know, just, it's almost not even debatable at this point. You know, I've been blown away. Like I had a pretty giant position in a few Osmosis liquidity pools that I liquidated because I liquidated a pretty significant amount of capital out of Osmosis into the Astroport lock drop. Yeah, that I think at the end of the day, you know, it's probably a break-even decision, but I'm blown away to see the farmable nature of the Osmo coin and how it's rallied. It's unbelievable. And I think it's probably, you know, is there any other DEX out there that's more valuable than Osmosis on an FTV basis other than Uniswap? I don't think so. And I put Sunny in there with Daniele Sesta is just, they just don't give a fuck and they do their own thing. So I like that.
Yep. So, you know, after talking to the Thor chain people and a little bit less on the Sunny / Osmosis side, but, you know, having Luna X appear elsewhere as kind of this, you know, pseudo Luna, Suna re basing coin, you know, is like, I think, a real opportunity for those who appear or do not like any kind of coin that rebases.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, you have the Ohm forks, which I think a lot of people don't really understand. You know, you see people selling the rebasing rewards. It's like, well, you know, that's where the value, like, that's where the value comes from. And yeah, Luna X is, yeah, it was super powerful. One of the concepts that I thought was going to be fun, we might still do something, is create a little gamified DeFi experience where you get people to all deposit their same money into a pool, and you hold it for 5, 10, you know, maybe you have like a 5-year lock. You can get out at any time, but if you get out, you have to pay a withdrawal fee. So it rewards people that can hold for 5 years or even longer. You know, you hold the money in AUST and any withdrawal fees go in Luna X. So the people that hold out all the way to the end, they get their AUST back plus Luna X that comes from withdrawal fees. It's like a Diamond Fans game, and I was going to wrap it in some sort of a farming concept, but Luna X is super compelling. I don't like the name. The only thing I don't like about Luna X is it starts to centralize the holdings of do you know if Luna X can be, are they using multiple validators to create that derivative, or is it their main one validator? I haven't looked enough into it. After dealing with
they have a small collection, and it's probably too small. I think this is you know, how do I say this? So if you look at like ST Luna and look at the Lido paper, mm-hmm. they've decided for ST Luna to ratably go across all the validators. Okay. Yep. I mean, there's other features, whatever else.
Yep.
And while I think Luna X has made, you know, a big thing of this, you know, small collection of validators, you know, I think in an opportunity for off-chain, and let me just go back to restate this again. I think that Luna X has the largest opportunity right now of being used off-chain in pools right after UST.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm amazed that no one has been talking about or whatever else, because Stater is really in the position that they just have to decide what chain that they want to do that on, and they could bless that chain, whether it's, you know, Thor or, you know, Juno, or pick whatever you want, okay? At the point in time that CW20 is supported.
Yeah.
Because it has kind of massive portability, because it's a pseudo, you know, you know, rebasing, you know, coin. So it's like super simple compared to dealing with a rebasing coin. As an old dev, I would tell you that. So Luna X, maybe they need to create Luna Y, which I'm just joking here. But I think taking the ratably position that ST Luna has done is probably more defensible.
I would agree completely. It favors supporting, you know, in a blockchain that's going to have a, you know, some centralization as a delegated proof of stake chain has, you know, supporting as much decentralization as possible, I think is huge. So that, yeah, the ST Luna is smart. And beside the point, I just wanted to add on Luna X, I can certainly tell you, as somebody who's looking at doing tax calculations, I'm pretty excited to hold things like Stake Spell, Stake Sushi, and just letting those things sit there and do their thing over a multi-year time frame and not have to deal with, you know, current returns. And so I will probably be we're working on a validator, and if we decide not to go that route, I will probably decide to hold quite a bit of Staked Luna because it has obvious benefits in just letting those things work for themselves, both from an auto compound standpoint and both from not having to deal with all those tokens coming your way.
If they went down the path of a Luna Y, the other thing that they could / should do is they could time out the SD coin claiming, essentially like Ergo does. I don't know if you're familiar with the Ergo protocol.
I'm not.
Okay, so the Ergo protocol has this kind of Bitcoin meaning, which says if you haven't moved your Ergo coin in 5 years, it starts getting taxed by 10% a year, okay? So, you know, in the Bitcoin space, as you well know, we don't really know how much Bitcoin is real or permanently dead in the bottom of a British dump at this moment in time, right? Yep.
That's smart. I like that. I never heard that.
So I think an SD, you know, connected to a Luna Y on another chain could be like, if you don't collect it in 3 years, it starts to deteriorate and go away.
Yep.
So it ends up, you know, it ends up in this funky deflationary situation as well.
Yeah. Deflation somewhat goes against decentralization, but as we've seen, it's powerful. And anybody who's held Terra alts understands, you know, inflation is good for token distribution, not so good for a price if you don't have a really strong value accrual mechanism. So you add some extra deflation to Luna, yeah, that's a pretty fun concept to think about. So.
And go back to Osmosis. I mean, consider how much inflation there is in Osmosis, right?
Yeah.
But they've matched it with value creation.
Yeah.
And it's possible that as a category or a silo, only a DEX can do that at this moment in time in terms of market appreciation. I mean, I could take you back to the 90s and talking about the, you know, the breakfast I used to have with Steve Case, him running the largest kind of individual online, you know, business, and me running the largest B2B business on the internet. And it's like, you know, we're at a specific stage of the market where things are valued in a specific way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in 5 years, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Awesome. Dan. Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Hey, Sumo, I'm going to jump here in a little bit, but I did want to say it was just too loud in that restaurant.
Sure.
The Poker idea is a cool idea, and I know you you do a lot for the community, and you're active in the community, and I think what you're building is cool. Just wanted to throw out there that I worked in the poker industry when I was a dealer when I was going to college. Actually became a player. It was more lucrative for me to become a player. And then the Chris Moneymaker thing happened, and then it was really lucrative for me to be a player, and more convenient to do it online. So I have a lot of thoughts and ideas, and I just wanted to throw it out there if you wanted to powwow. I had a lot of thoughts, but they were probably a little more too detailed for this call, and I didn't want to overwhelm it. But if you wanted to powwow on that, I just wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah, we'll have to touch base. I know in the U.S. anyway, there's this resurgence of poker in Texas. They're opening up poker rooms in Texas that don't violate their gambling laws because it's like you pay a sitting fee, essentially.
Club.
Yeah,
it's club.
It's a club. And so in my mind, I've thought for a long time that, a decentralized stablecoin is a natural home for, some online gaming, but rather than just having people go and piss away their money because the house edge just steals it away in a game that they can never win over the long term. Play some poker and do it in a way that, kind of is tied to an asset, an NFT. I think it could be a nice mechanism to start building a community, and then, hopefully more opportunities fall out of that. And along the way, people, I know talking to people from all around the world that, you talk about few hundred Luna changes people's lives. And so I think it might be a unique way to do that. And really, ultimately, the big goal is just to attract attention to the community and to the wonderful asset that we have here in Luna, and just make UST be a home where you don't need to transact outside of UST. And if we can help move that needle just a tiny bit, we're all gonna do really great over the long run. So I'll be in touch on the poker idea. So
sounds good. Cool idea, man. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, at the end of the day, so I'm gonna pop off. I gotta get back to my traditional job here, which I could get into more why I have this traditional job, but that's a conversation for another day, and I'll maybe share some more information on that. But with that, just wanted to, my voice, I'm sure, undoubtedly sounds different than what people imagine when they look at the fat sumo. I am pretty fat, so it's kind of fun to personify that image. But really, trying to build up fun ways to grow the UST ecosystem, whether it's via games, community. I have some other protocol ideas as well, but really just look forward to working with the group. And I see one other person had requested to speak, but I'm going to have to jump, so I apologize, and feel free to DM me if you have any specific comments or questions, and I'll reach out to you. So more to come on the Lunatic Landing, which is really a community driven experiment to have fun, grow the awareness of the Lunatics, and help us all make some money. So with that, have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you all soon. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Sumo AMA, recorded on Friday, January 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart.io. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at Luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Check both belts, yo, we're locked and loaded. Coming through to test y'all works of oldest. Like the motherfucking past ain't relevant. Selling these cats on the same old developments. Folks hacked into the housing projects. Never even known what it's like to prosper. Fuck that, y'all, I thought this was America. Marinating in the raw bold is our character. The fight that's ahead, shit, it won't be easy. It's like the MPP got people greedy. That's the narrative of perpetual progression. And it's civilization's darkest lesson. Don't take it from me, look the fuck around. And know what to look for before it goes down. And know what you're good for when they come to your town. Cross that threshold and get drugged the fuck out.
Check out the tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the rhythm, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the technique.
You better farm your land or it'll get farmed for you. Big pharma farming hemp that greed's loyal. It's all in these documents I bring forward. The nobles are obviously in league with big oil. When we release the lease on these resources, we'll need, of course, a briefcase and three sorcerers. complete with Greek sources and people to pull the trigger when I give these orders. Struggling a while with these disorders, chaotic neutral but still wishing he was in orbit. Stonks only go up, when did this shit become do or die? Viva Elon Musk would be my battle cry. I mean, somebody's gotta lead the autists into battle when we finally defeat the bosses. Level up shit and shift the wealth and make sure you keep a little bit for yourself.
Check out the tech, check out the tech, check out the technique, check out the tech, check out the tech, check out the technique, check out the rhythm, tech rhythm, check out the tech, check out the technique, check out the tech, check out the tech, check out the technique.
Terra Spaces.